So chapter six is taking a turn that I didn't expect, and a lot of us didn't expect, but that's who God is. He gives us something that we don't expect, right? A lot of us are just ready for the fight. Like, get us to the bottom line, get us to the place where they sinned. Okay, we get that, and then they repented, and then God sends something, and a miracle happens, and a fight happens, then they win, and then we move on. But that's not what's happening in this chapter. It seems like God is just slowly opening, to us one topic after another. We saw how God is now communicating with Gideon. We're just talking to Gideon and reasoning with him, and Gideon is bringing everything that's on his heart to God. Didn't hold back. Where are the things that we heard about? Where is the God that we that our ancestors told us about? Like, he did not hold back, and God is telling him, you have strength. What strength do I have? If I look around me, I am nothing. My family is nothing. My whole nation is absolutely nothing right now, And God says, no, I see strength in you that you might not see in yourself, that others might not see in you. And this is a message, I think, that was for every single person in this call, and for everyone who will ever hear this video, and that we should remind ourselves, there is strength. You are in training time. Today is a training day for tomorrow's victory. A lot of us want to jump into tomorrow's victories without today's training. And that in itself is a disaster. That in itself will break our back. I think I share this story often. When Gracie was like two or three, took her to the mall, bought her a toy that she was really wanting, and she, been asking for, but it was a big toy, So I went to the store, we went together, we bought the toy, and it was like this big box, and she is insisting on carrying that bag herself. Imagine a little Gracie, 2 or 3 years old, trying to carry a box this big around the mall. It was a disaster. She couldn't move. She kept falling. The whole thing kept, she kept stumbling. She didn't have enough strength to carry the blessing that her father just gave her. A lot of times we want to jump, to carry, to take, to have, to experience these amazing things, and we have not built enough spiritual muscles. We have not grown enough to take these blessings. So last week, or the week before, we talked about this communication between Gideon and God, or Jesus, and the offering that he brought. And Gideon, without knowing, he was bringing who? He was offering who? He was offering Jesus himself. And this is when someone is living in obedience, even without knowing, they're offering Jesus. And I think I shared this, the strongest messages I've ever preached were not in Bible study, or not on Sunday church, were just through actions that I wasn't even aware of. If you look at your life, if you look at conversations you had with people, if you look at so many things, these are the messages that a lot of time resonate with people. So Gideon brings the goat, brings the bread, brings the flour, and then he offers it, and God turns into the rock into an altar. And we have a miracle. The offer is accepted. And God assures him, no, you're not going to die, because Gideon now thinks that, oh, he just saw the Lord face to face and he is going to die. But then the angel of the Lord, or Jesus, tells him, no, you're not going to die. I didn't come to kill you. I came to give you life. I came to give you life, life more abundant. I came to reconcile you with the Father. I came to make that connection happen again and give you this life again. They built an altar, and they call it, he builds an altar and he calls it, the Lord is peace. And remember, when you're reading your Bible, when you see the Lord, LORD, capital, that means Yahweh, the God who manifested himself to Moses, to all the prophets, to all of his children, is now manifesting. There is no capital or small in the Hebrew language, but the translators, when they're putting this like that, the LORD, it means Yahweh. This is a reference to Yahweh, the God who manifests himself, who made a covenant with his people. Today, we start at verse 25. The first few verses, we see the introduction, and we see that God is sanctifying and God is changing Gideon. Today, God is going to take it a step further, and I pray that we take it also a step further with him. So, starting at verse 25, it says, On that very night, the Lord said to Gideon, Take your father's young bull and a second bull, 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold, and with the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down, take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering. As I said, God is dealing with Gideon. Now God has to deal with the family and the rest of the household members. Before you go out to the Midianites and the Amalekites, before you start that fight against the army of the other nations, let's figure out what's happening here. Let's figure out how we can all be united. Why did the church grow so fast in the beginning days? Okay, because they had it easy. Because they had satellite and channels and people were just coming in. No, because they were united. So God is trying to bring unity between Gideon and the rest of the Israelites. And nothing separates the unity and the people of God other than having foreign gods, having idols in our lives. Instead of being united under the one God, everyone is doing whatever they want. Everyone, it says that in the Bible about the people of Israel, because there was no king in Israel, everyone was doing whatever was pleasing in their own sight. What does that mean? It means that there is nothing governing them. Nothing has authority over them. So do whatever you want. So here we see the people of Israel are taken a part of these type of adultery. So let's take a look at this. The first thing we see here is that God is not wasting any time. He sees that Gideon is picking up. Gideon is going, it's going well with Gideon, and he's liking these new revelations and all of that. So God, on that very night, tells him, okay, there's one more thing that we need to resolve. And today is the day of salvation. When you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. When God is calling you, and when God is pointing at something in my heart and in your heart, He is rushing for a reason. He is telling you that this has to be done right now for a reason. So when we examine our hearts tonight, just remember this message was not just written for Gideon. This message is written for all of us. So tonight, God is going to point at something in your own heart. You don't have to share it with me. You don't have to share it with anyone unless you want to share it with your spouse, but God is going to point at something in your heart and in my heart today that tonight has to be taken care of. The Lord again is revealing himself, and we see it again, the LORD capital. The Lord is revealing himself to Gideon, and we see God is telling him, go to your father's house. Take the young bull and a second bull, 7 years old, to tear down your father's altar to Baal. From this, we see that Gideon's father had an altar to what? To Baal. What is Baal? It's another god. And Dina will go through that in a minute. They used to worship all kinds of gods, and the father, Gideon's father, had an idol in his own household for Baal. See, the Israelites never stopped believing in God. They never did. They always believed that there's a God. Okay. But what they did, they let outside influence try to coexist with God. Same problems we have today. Oh no, God is alive. I love Jesus. Jesus is my savior. But It's kind of arrogant to say that Jesus is the only way. It's kind of arrogant to think that Christianity is the only religion. It's kind of harsh to tell other people that their gods are not really gods. Well, the truth is the truth. I'm not going to change the truth to make someone feel better. Actually, I am not. I wouldn't be honest. I wouldn't be good to them if I am telling them lies. The truth is the truth. Jesus is the only way. Jesus, and every time, and not because I'm being emotional, it just because I love Jesus, it's because this is the truth that has been proven over and over and over, that he is the truth, that he is the way, that he is the real meaning of life. So they brought in other gods with them, which a lot of believers, if we examine our hearts honestly, we see that we also sometimes bring other gods. And what are the other gods? Something that shares your, something that takes away your thoughts, something that takes away your money, something that you depend on for pleasures or peace or value or whatever it is, something that you think about more than you should, something that takes the space that God should be taking in your life. A bowl is a symbol of family idolatry, because they're raising that bowl, they're growing, they're investing, they're spending time and money and effort to have that bowl. Why? To sacrifice it on the altar of Baal. And then you see something else here. It says that take your father's young bowl and a second bowl, 7 years old. Why specifically 7 years? If you go back to when we started, the oppression under the Midianites started how many years ago? 7 years ago. So that bowl has been raised, it's been growing for 7 years at the beginning of the Midianites' oppression. Okay? A lot of times, the major events that are happening, listen to this, please. A lot of times, the major events that are happening in the outside is connected to something happening on the inside. A lot of times, the major events that, or the major circumstances, the things that are we're going through on the outside, let's try to examine and go back to our own lives and see if there's something connected to it. 7 years, the father is growing this bowl, raising this bowl to one day, so we can one day sacrifice it to Baal. Well, 7 years at that same exact time, the Midianites start stealing everything. You're about to sacrifice a young bull. Guess what? The Midianites, the same God they worship that you are worshiping right now, the same people that now you are united with in the spirit, okay, worshiping the same gods, are gonna come, not only take the bull, but they're gonna take everything. Every harvest, everything you work for, because that's what the enemy needs. He just needs a small opening to come in and takes control over everything. Are you seeing the connection or not yet? Are you seeing what's happening here? They open the door. They're about to raise and to that bowl and sacrifice it. And at that same time, the enemy comes, but not just for the bowl. They come for the whole and the full harvest. You might think this one-time thing, whatever we call it, is just a one-time thing. And then it turns into a devastation for the whole family. How many times, how many stories did you hear? How many times did someone say, oh, it's okay to have a drink and then drive? It's only going to be that one time. And then their whole life goes upside down because of that one time. And you can give examples over examples: adultery, cheating, theft, what anger, uncontrolled anger. So many things, and you say, oh, just gonna be the one time. No, it's not. It's not. We open the door for the enemy. He's not coming for the young bull. He's not just coming for one thing, he's coming for it all.
Wow. Important to kind of like go back and start looking at like what, why Baal? Why was this such a issue for the Israelites. Baal was a very common, god, small g, in Israel. Very common. There were a lot of like attractive things about Baal for the people of Israel. One of them was fertility, and the other one was prosperity. And those were two things that they were in a space where they were struggling with. I mean, let's zoom back, right? Big picture, what Assam said 7 years before. I mean, things were, difficult for a while, and then they were great. Okay. And then here come the Midianites and the Amalekites wanting to take on the people of God. And in a 7 year period, they slowly start progressing to really take them out. But remember in the beginning when we first started, it said that the people of God had turned away from the Lord, right? We talked about every chapter kind of begins that way. Well, that was sort of like a big statement, right? The people had turned away. Here we are, we kind of zoom right into a family, and we see what was actually happening. When we zoom in to the family that was part of the collective nation of Israel, we start seeing that in this family, and specifically even in Gideon's father, right? A man who was supposed to be the leader of this, albeit a small clan, a clan nonetheless, was engaging in idolatry and, in fact, raising these bulls to sacrifice them for who?
Dale.
Baal. And Baal, again, was a common god with the people of Israel. We see him throughout. We see the name of Baal creeping out. We know the story of Elijah and how he contended against the armies of Baal. There were and pagan worship was in often connected to Baal. And so this was like a common idol. It wasn't like this one uncommon thing. It was something that they had seen over and over and over and over again, yet they went right back to it. And sometimes as a people, as believers, there's something that we can point to. We're like, yeah, the world worships materialism. We see it. It's old as day. I can see it right in front of me. Or the so many people are engaged in idolatry and lust towards the opposite sex or lust towards other things in their lives. We see it. It's clear as day. This is an old idol here. And then what happens? You get sucked right into it. Because what happened with the people of Israel was the same repetitive sin over and over. It was a cycle. It was a cycle. It was things get hard and they turn to idols and they turn away from the things of God and they become enslaved, and it's this cycle. And then they repent and they go to the Lord and they say, God, help us, forgive us. We're not going to do this anymore. And then God saves them. And we talked about this early on when we started Judges, that we were going to see this horrible cycle. And here we are with the people of God turning to Baal. Asherah, the Asherah pole, this is one of the first times we see this in the word. And this pole was a wooden symbol, and it was associated with the goddess Asherah. And it was often placed right beside the altars of Baal. And cutting it down, when Gideon cut it down, it really represented the removal of this idolatrous practice. It was saying, we are going to just cut it right at its root, and it will no longer have a place to stand where we are. This was an action of like great holiness by Gideon. It was him taking this situation that was before him, which by the way, he probably like looked at over and over and over again. This was, this bull, the 7-year-old bull, been raised for a while. And I imagine that at some point, became very clear that this bull was being raised for bail, especially when you have this pole next to the sacrifice. It becomes very clear that this is now a sacrifice that's about to go not to Yahweh, to the Lord, but a sacrifice that was about to go to an idol. And it said, the Lord here said, after he cut it down, the Lord said, build a proper altar. Build a proper altar. And it was God asking Gideon to step out in faith. Okay, we're going to get to later scriptures here. This was a real act of faith for Gideon, because this is not to be messed with. This is something that signifies like a lot of money and cost during a time where they were in famine, if you recall. The harvest was being stolen. And here his family is pouring into this bull, these bulls, to sacrifice it for another god. I mean, for Gideon to do this was a real, it was like a big moment in his life. It says here, build a proper altar. In other words, God is asking for a true place of worship, that there would be a moment of turning from one horrible, monstrous idol to the true and living God. Says here that the strongholds, that it was in a place of strongholds. This has kind of been a theme throughout, and we've been talking about strongholds a little bit. And just as a reminder, a stronghold was typically a place in a high perched area that was really fortified, and you went there for safety. And a stronghold either represents a place that's a fortress for us to reside in with the Lord, or it represents a barrier that keeps us from the things of God. In this particular situation, they were taking the idols of Baal into the stronghold in order to sacrifice them, and that in that way was a barrier between them and the Lord. But God here is saying, take the proper altar to the stronghold so that it can be sacrificed. In other words, building a fortress between him and the people of God, building a place of security and safety, the stronghold that David referred to, that I would go to the stronghold and find refuge there. That is the stronghold that God wanted his people to create. Again, just as a repetition here of like how incredible this action that Gideon was taking. Gideon was taking what likely would translate in our world as hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cattle or worth of livestock and possession, and he was they were taking this, and it was very serious for them, because they believed that Baal could save them from the situation they were in. And Gideon was taking this and turning it into something for the Lord as a symbol that the entire people of God were going to follow him. It was a situation of life or death. Okay, this was livelihood at stake.
And that young bull, the 7-year-old that was supposed to bring them fertility and prosperity, what did it bring them? It brought them famine and disgrace. That's what happens when we put our trust or our faith in the enemy. So I have two questions for you today that you can answer on your own, or you can discuss it with someone. The first question is, what are the idols that you have in your life that you need to cut off? What are the idols that you have in your life that you need to cut off? Is it TV? Is it sports? Is it appearance? Is it people's praise? whatever it is. I'm just giving you examples. And the second thing is, what sacrifices are you raising at home in your own life, okay, that you are offering to the gods of this world, that you are offering to this world? What are the things that you're doing day after day, day after day, knowing, or maybe now you know, you're doing this because the world is telling you you should do this. Not the word of God, not conviction from the Holy Spirit, but the world is telling you you have to do this. And you've been doing the word. And you've been doing the things that the world is telling you to do. So think about these two questions and you discuss them with someone. We got to run to verse 27. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city, he did it by night rather than in the daytime. So the first thing I see here is obedience. I see obedience. I know a lot of people talk about Gideon that he was afraid and he did it at night. No, I care more about the obedience that he had. I care more about the boldness that he had, that he took that step as soon as God told him something, he decided to obey. Not only that, but he took people with him. He took 10 servants with him to go and to cut down and tear down those altars. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but I see Gideon and I see 10 people and I see them going on a mission. Finally, I'm starting to see a movement against the enemy. Finally, I'm seeing a very small cloud, a very small army starting to form in the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, I don't know how many people we are on this call, but if two or three are gathered, if two or three are gathered, under his name or for his name, he will be in the midst. And we have no limit to what God can use us for. There is a small group of us here, but that could be that very small cloud. That could be the very small army. That could be the very small, very, very small army that God needs, to start a movement. Start a movement in our families, to start a movement in our churches, to start a movement in our community, to start a movement in this country, and maybe we can reach the world. That's all that it takes. So a small army was formed to go fight the Midianites, to go fight the Amalekites. No, to go and obey and remove the idols from their families. The first fight we need to fight is to remove the idols from our lives, not to go out and to preach to the world. It's great. We need to do that. That's fine. But to mix our message with power and authority, we need to remove our own idols from our lives. When they destroyed the idols, there is a reality of fear that comes with that. From facing the family and the community. Yes, of course, what is it called? Backlash. There will be a backlash, of course, because the whole nation now is used to, having Baal and Asherah and all of those gods, and you cannot do that. So when you go against the tide or against the waves, of course you're gonna suffer. Of course, you're gonna pay the price. But whether you want to pay the price to the world or just live and die with this world, and God is gonna protect us no matter what. So Nicodemus came to at night to Jesus, by the way. So for those who blame Gideon, no, it's okay that he was a little bit afraid, but he still obeyed. He did it at night, but ultimately he did it. The idea of removing the idols is scary because what the idols usually represent. Those idols, as we discussed, they represent a source of fertility and a source of power and prosperity and all of that. And if you take that away from someone, You're missing with them, you know? And the idols we have in our lives, they could be scary to tear down, because a lot of our idols are, you know, give us a feeling of being valued, feeling powerful, feeling strong, feeling this or feeling that. That these are the idols that we have in our lives right now. So tearing down the idols in our own lives is not going to be easy. It's going to be scary. It's going to take a step of faith that I am saying to this thing that I'm idolizing all of my life, saying, you are no longer the source of my joy. You are no longer the source of my peace. You are no longer the source of my strength or value. That God, who I don't see right now, is the source of all of these things. That's what faith, that's what active daily faith is, that even if I don't see it, I know that God will fulfill all of my needs. You know, this thing that I am addicted to, this thing that I've been going back to day after day and not seeing any breakthrough, this is no longer the place or the thing that brings me joy or peace. It's God who does all of that. So today, be encouraged and obey God and share with others your obedience. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel like this is going to be a lot, but ask God for strength. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to power you to go after this. Yes, you cannot do it by yourself. Gideon needed 10 people with him, you know. So I would recommend that if there is something in your life that you feel like it's been an idol and it's been a stronghold and you need to get rid of it, I truly encourage you, really, really encourage you to share with someone and to have someone keep you accountable and to help you with those strongholds. You know, we're actually going through it right now. You know, as this week, we decided that this week is going to be for us a week of breakthroughs from a few things that we shared with one another and that we're praying and fasting, and we're like, we need to get rid of that. We started on Sunday, I think, you know, and we identified a few things, and you know, we need to get rid of this. We need to, that's an idol in my life. I need to get rid of, you know. So I encourage you to start doing something like that with someone you trust, someone you love, someone that can help you with this process.
Yeah, and before we go on to 28, that was a it was quite a task that Gideon had to undertake, right? It wasn't just, hey, Gideon, on your own, go get these two bulls that weigh hundreds and hundreds of pounds, take down the wooden post that's been there, go build a proper altar. This is a lot of hard work. He needed those 10 people in his life. And in the very same way, there are things that God points to in our life that says, hey, a proper altar needs to be built here in this area of your life. But guess what? You're not going to do it alone. I mean, in this case, it took 10 people. The idea here is that you would bring people around you that you trust, especially when it's this really, really heavy, big task. Gideon knew he wasn't going to be able to do it alone. And so he brought people along with him to ensure that there was success in that and that a proper altar was built. Verse 28, it says, when the men of the city got up in the morning, there was Baal's altar torn down with the Asherah pole cut down beside it, and the second bull offered up on the newly built altar. Who did this? They said to one another. And after they had investigated thoroughly, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. In the morning, it took them all night to do this. This was not something that happened right away. But in the morning, morning in the word of God always signifies a new day, a new beginning. I mean, in our spiritual walk, that really means that God has got a new beginning for us, that God has got the old is behind us, and behold new things are in front of us. And in this beautiful moment where we see that the idols of the past are now gone and destroyed, it's now to time to engage in proper worship. It's now time to be able to defeat the enemies. And as Asam said, there was no way, there's no way Gideon, we're about to see like the miracles that happen with Gideon and as he conquers these people, but there was no way that was going to happen unless the idols were torn down and proper idols were placed. Do you see how upset they are by this? By the way, we're not talking about the Midianites here. These were not the Midianite men that were upset. These were men of Israel. These were men that were supposed to worship the only true and living God. And they were so upset. It was as if Gideon there was a crime against the Lord. But it was Baal. This was an altar of Baal, an altar that they had despised in the past, that they knew was going to lead to their death and destruction. And it says here that they thoroughly investigated. And their investigation, they spent so much time and effort trying to figure it out because Baal had become their god. They missed the whole thing. They started slow, right? Started slow, turning a little bit at a time. And through a 7-year period, here they were, and now Baal had become their god, and they were ready to kill one of their own, to kill one of their own, because Baal had been crossed.
And we see here that Baal is down, the Asherah is down, everything that they're related to them is down. And this has been the experience that we've seen in this world day after day. Anything that came, there are new fades every day. There are new things every day. They last for a little while and then they go away. One person who remained the same, never changing. And that's our God, our Lord and Savior. And the question that they've been asking, who did this? Because they want to fight. They want to fight someone. That's what they're after. Fighting another human being, fighting another person. A better question should have been, how could have this happened? If this is really God, if and we will see that Gideon's father will ask a similar question, because finally a revelation just happened to him. You know, how could this happen to a God? How could this happen to, you know, to Baal? And how could he allow someone to like this to do this to him? And then they find out that Gideon, son of Joash, the one who did it. And the question that I have for us as well today will be, are we exposed as the one who did it? Are we exposed as those world changers? Are we exposed as those who turned the world upside down came among us? Are we exposed? Can people easily tell that our language is different, that our behavior is different, that our thoughts and our looks and the way we hear are different? Are we exposed as believers, or do we just fit in just like everyone else? You know, are we exposed our people as
Good.
people that are holding the word of God? When they arrested Jesus and then they were talking to Peter, they said something very interesting to Peter. We can tell you've been with Jesus. We can tell your language, the way you carry yourself, your clothes, everything about you looks like you've been hanging out with Jesus for the last 3 years or so. Can people tell? Are we exposed Christians, or are we undercover Christians? See, Gideon, it was easy to tell that, oh, Gideon did it. It's easy to tell that Pastor Edwin loves the Word of God. It's easy to tell that Pastor Mike is a great speaker. It's so easy to tell that Dahlia Abert have great spirit of wisdom. It's so easy to tell when you look at someone here or there, and you can tell, like, oh, I see something there. I see something that comes from the Lord. I see the strength of raiment. I see this. I see that. Like, I see all of these things. Easy to tell, easily exposed that this person has something from God. Gideon was not a spy. That's not a job that he should apply for. He was an exposed man of power. He was an
Amen.
exposed man of God. Verse 30, because we're.
It says, then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has torn down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, are you contending for Baal? Are you trying to save him? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal is a god, let him contend for himself with the one who tore down his altar. Who is this talking? It's Joash. Weren't you the one that was raising the bulls and put the altar together to begin with, Joash? I mean, it clearly said that Gideon went to the father's altar. But a revelation came to Joash because of what Gideon did. See, there are people all around us watching. And even though they might be engaged in the exact idolatry that we're trying to tear down and come against, when they see a proper altar built in your life and in my life, the natural thing is a revelation from the Holy Spirit to change. Joash not only was changing, he was defending Gideon, defending the work of God, and coming against Baal, mocking the very thing that he was about to sacrifice for. Gideon's action led to revelation and change in his family. And I know that many of us have family members that we've been praying for and calling out to the Lord for, and maybe children, and maybe in-laws or whoever it might be. And you think to yourself, how are they ever going to come? Well, let me tell you, Gideon obeyed the Lord even when it was scary to do it, and he tore down idols. And God saw it, and his father saw it, and it led to restoration in their family. What a beautiful image we get to see. Dad was ready to worship, and dad was ready to fight for Gideon. And because that happened, we're going to see later on that it actually leads to a nation in repentance and leads to a nation of change. And as Asam said, it was only 10 servants plus Gideon, that was only 11 people. And that led to a change that really had a domino effect. What we do matters, what we obey matters. And if it's hard for you right now, if like God's pointing to an idol in your life and you're like, I just don't know if I can do it, just remember it's beyond us most of the time. God cares about us. He's pursuing us, and he's pursuing us so hard that he's using these scriptures tonight to make sure that we're cleared of the things that are weighing us down in the spirit.
Verse 30. Oh, well, before we go there, his father very much says, well, if Baal is the man, if Baal is God, let him bring it. And the question that will always come up is, did any Baal ever bring it? Did any God in this world ever stand against the one and true God? Never. And it will never happen. These are all idols. These are things that change. These are things that die. These are things that get forgotten about. These are things that don't work and don't last. Verse 32. So on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend with him. because he had torn down Baal's altar. So the people now are kind of prophesying over Gideon, naming him Jerubbaal, or the meaning of it is, let Baal contend with him. And what an honor that is, that our fight is no longer against flesh and blood, that our fight is not against anyone, that our fight now is, our contend right now is against the powers of the authorities and the powers of the heavenly realm. This is the fight that Gideon has chosen to take. And this is the fight that you and I should choose to take. Not the fight against the people around us, not against our husbands, our wives, and bosses, and neighbors, and any of that. No, let Baal contend with him, or let the enemy contend with him, because we know we are not fighting each other. We know we're not fighting other human beings. We know that other human beings are just as miserable and just as tired and afraid and scared and sick as we are. We're all under this same, we're all in this world together. But we are fighting against the liar, the thief, the destroyer. This is who we are really fighting against. Luckily, we don't come to him by ourselves. We come to him covered by the name of Jesus. So, recapping really quick, God tells Gideon, after Gideon offered the sacrifices and came to him with the goat first, the blood first. Do not forget that the blood of Jesus has to be the first offer you give, the first offer you receive, the blood of Jesus. No other offer will ever work. Nothing that we can ever do will ever be enough. We need to offer what we received, and that's the blood of Jesus. So that night when he offered, God says, well, there's something for you to do. Go and tear down the idols. And our job tonight, until next week, and for the rest of our lives, is to figure out, what are the idols in our lives? What are the sacrifices that we are raising and we keep offering to this world? He went, he tore it down, and instead he built an altar for the Lord. Instead, the second thing is, he took people with him. He went and obeyed and took people with him. He got a small army to start this new revival, right? And then when the people found out, he was easily exposed. I pray that you and I can be easily identified and exposed as those who tore down some idols, those who change the world around us, even if it's just our own world, even if it's just our own surroundings. And we see the change in his father's house because it's contagious. It's contagious. You know, when God starts doing something in your life, it is contagious. So I pray that happens. And then he is identified as the one who is now fighting head to head with the enemy. Now he's taking the fight to the right place. Amen. All right. Any questions, any comments? We have about 10 minutes.
I was just thinking, well, you just answer how do we destroy our own idols? But how do we help other people that need
A good
help to
question.
destroy their altar, their idols? Because right here, Gildan, he destroyed the altar of the people, right? Well, that was only his
No,
idol
everybody.
of the
It's his
people, right?
father, it's house, yeah, father's household.
So his father was a believer. He was not a believer of Jesus.
Well,
Not.
he, I mean, they were part of the clan, you know, early on, right? We hear that they are part of the nation of Israel, a small clan, but part of the nation. And the people of God. But remember, the people of God continued to
Leave God.
leave God, turn away from God over and over and over again. This was just one of the cycles. It was very, just kind of happened over again. This was one of the cycles where they things were tough. They turned from God. Well, they turned from God first, and then things got tough, and then
Yeah.
they continued in this sort of
So
like
yeah, no, his
idolatry.
father was worshiping Baal. I mean, it's as straightforward as this is. His father was worshiping Baal. He was not worshiping God. And as I said earlier, a lot of times they still believe in God. They still believe that Yahweh exists. But we're like, oh, we can coexist. But that's not how it works. There's no way we can worship God and other gods with him. It's either him and him alone or nothing. Yeah. So your question is great, by the way. Okay. How do we help other people? And I'm going to share a couple of thoughts. And this is a great question for us to discuss. I think sharing the word of God and sharing our testimony, because I used to worship a lot of idols. When I look at my life, I find a lot of idols. I was going through some Bible study years ago, a couple of years ago, and I was sharing on this that peanut butter was my idol. Like I would come home and the first thing I would do is my own jar away from the house jar, and then with the spoon. It was like I could not come home without going straight to the kitchen. It was sickening, but I could not do it. And sometimes I would tell myself in the car, I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to do that today. And as soon as I get in the kitchen, and this is a silly, funny example, but there are so many things that you and I, we all have. So first, we share our testimony how we defeated our own idols and how God freed us from our own idols, and then share the word of God, because the word of God has the answer for the reason people worship these idols. Let me say that again. The word of God and a relationship with the Lord has the answer, the true answer, the real answer of why people are worshiping these idols. So if someone, let's say that a friend is worshiping money, they just want money. That's all they want. Money, 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 money. Well, they think that money will give them security, so they lack security. They lack safety. They think that money will give them value. They lack value. But if they find out that the only value is that we are the children of God, because anything here doesn't mean anything, because it's all going to go away. This is like Monopoly. It's a game that will be over sooner or later. If they're worshiping money, and I just picked money because it's their safety, because it's value, because they can buy other people's love with it. That's an issue. Like people want to have a lot of money because they want to buy gifts to others, because that's how they think they can be loved and received. These are all things that people do around us, because there is a huge misunderstanding that no, your safety is in God. Your future, your hope is in God. Your value, who you are, is not because of how much you have. You can have trillions of dollars and you're still going to feel very empty. Okay? But your true value, that you are the child of God.
Amen.
If you want people to love you, then do what Jesus did. Serve them, love them, not buy them or buy things for them. That's the love. So people worship money because it gives them these things. So if I can open their eyes that no, you can have all of these things, but in the right way. You can have safety in God. You can have value in God. You can have true connection and love and with other people through the word of God and through serving them. That can replace these idols with the true security that we have in God, the true value we have in God, and everything else. So sharing that we are not too good. We've all had our idols. We all have our idols that we deal with, and also sharing the word of God that brings the truth to everyone's heart.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to share on this question? We still have time.
Just had a thought about something I was reading earlier today about Moses going up the second time to the mountain. Or if you recall, when he was gone for a period of time, and the Israelites, were saying, we don't know what happened to him, and we need a God. And a thought came to mind is the reason why we have idols at times is that we feel disconnected from God Himself. So we're always searching, we're always looking for something to worship. And if I can't connect with God, then I'm going to find something to replace him.
It's good.
So it's an
So
indication that
good.
I need to turn back to God again, that I've got this emptiness and I'm searching for something. So I need to come back where he's the one that fills and he's the one that satisfies everything. So when my heart is full, I can't be looking for anything else to replace them, just like, what the Israelites were doing. We don't know what happened to Moses, so you need to build us a God.
That's good. Okay, anyone else? Any questions? Any answers? Any comments?
St. Augustine said, it's one of the quotes that he's very famous for, that all of us have a God-shaped void in our heart. Oftentimes, when we look at idols in our life, they carry with it, it's a God-shaped space that really God wants to fill. So whatever that thing is that's filling space in your life is really meant, that space is meant for the Lord. And so as Assam mentioned, think about the things that are causing us, that are drawing us to that action or to that thought or to that behavior. Because likely what's there is a space that God wants to fill. Okay.
All right. Well, let's pray. Pastor Al, can you pray for us? And we'll see you guys next week.
Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you for bringing clarity and truth through your word, through the stories of real people going through real challenges and the importance of identifying the idols, Lord God, but only you can do that by the Holy Spirit. And so we just ask that you would bring clarity and truth by your Spirit into our minds, to our hearts, to our souls, and help us to write these things down, to identify these things, and to place them before you, and to ask you for help, and to allow for help to come, as Gideon had the 10 to help him destroy those things, Lord God. Give us to put these things into practice in a very real and practical way, and bless each person, Lord, on this call and those that will be listening to it later. That your hand will be upon each person, every family, Lord God, for your glory, to live a life that brings you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.